This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads to stray, there is none to guide aright. In these toxic times, with people building walls, not bridges, it is good to talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a personal human perspective. We always talk about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a prophet's perspective. But today, inshallah, we'll talk about the human aspect of his life. And wallahi, if you study his life as a human being, you will love him more. The people who hate him, the Islamophobes, the people who attack him in the media, wallahi, if they know him on a personal level as a human being, they will love him, not hate him. The people of Mecca, they hated Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet, but they loved him as a human being, right? So, for example, the people of Mecca, yes, they hated him, they fought against him. But if they wanted to trust someone with their valuables, their gold, their jewelry, they couldn't find anyone more trustworthy than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to keep their gold and jewelry with. Abu Sufyan, before he became Muslim, his daughter Ummu Habiba, she immigrated with her husband to Habasha and so on and so forth. Later, she lost her husband, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to her in marriage to protect her. When Abu Sufyan, he was still not Muslim, and he fought against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on different occasions. So Abu Sufyan, despite of his enmity to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet, he loved him as a human being. And he was so happy when he heard the news that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his daughter, and he said she married the greatest man, although he was his enemy, right? So they loved him on a personal human level, but they had issues with him as a prophet. Why? Because it's politics, man. We are the rulers of Mecca. We are in charge. We are the bosses here. Now he is coming as a prophet. He's going to remove our authority and he will take over. Now we have an issue, right? But as a human being, they loved him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people who hate him, they attack him in the media. They draw cartoons, like sarcastic cartoons about him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't know him as a human being. They depict him as a vicious human being with no humanity, no rahmah in his heart. This is a man, I'm going to talk about sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not as a prophet, I'll talk about him as a human being. And this is what the Quran talks about. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ I'm a human being like you. At the end of Surah Kahf, I'm a human being like you. The only difference is يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ I receive revelations from Allah. But this is the only difference. I have the same concerns, the same worries in life, the same vulnerabilities in life, just like the average people. I'm a human being like you, but I receive revelations. Right? So these people who attack him, they say he is violent, he is this, he is that. They don't know nothing about him. And just like the people of Mecca, who hated him as a prophet, but they loved him as a human being, if these Islamophobes, if they know him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on a personal human level, they will love him just like the people of Mecca, although they have issues with him as a prophet. But they don't know him as a prophet, they don't know him as a human being. Right? So, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people of Mecca who fought him against him for years, they tried to kill him. They hired people to assassinate him. They killed his Sahaba. They starved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba. They even were responsible for the death of his grandchildren, like Zainab radiallahu anhu, his daughter was pregnant when she was doing hijrah from Mecca to Medina. Al-Habbar and Aswad and other people from Mecca, they killed her camel, she fell off the camel and she lost her baby. And she later died because of the consequences of her miscarriage, right? So basically, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took over Mecca many years later, they tried to kill me, they killed my Sahaba, they starved me.
And in some narrations, Khadija radiallahu anha died from starvation because of what they did to her and Abu Talib and other people because of what they did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 3 years, they were eating leaves and so on and so forth. So when you took over, you killed my grand baby, right? You were responsible indirectly for the death of my daughter Zainab. I forgive you, go away, right? They say, violent and this and that. And these Islamophobes who attack him and they say he was violent, if you were driving behind him on the road, and if you just happened to kiss their bumper from behind, you know, they would just come out of the car, they would fall on the floor, my kidney, they will take you to the police, and he hurt me physically, financially, he hurt me psychologically, mentally, and otherwise, right? They will make a scene because no rahmah, right? And this is someone, people were trying to kill him, and he forgave them. You see now the difference as a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being like you, but he received revelation. And the reason is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let's say if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel, as the people of Mecca and the pagans requested, they said, he's a human being like us, we just need an angel. Okay. If Allah sent an angel, they wouldn't be able to see him, as Allah says in Surah An'am. And number two, they will take him, if he were to be an angel, as an excuse for not believing. They say, Ya Ammu, he's an angel, Malak. He is fasting 30 days of Ramadan, but he is an angel. We can't do it. We're just human beings. He can go for Hajj. Thousands of miles, we can't do it. We're just human beings. He makes namaz, salah at night. He doesn't sleep. Like, he is an angel. We are just human beings. We can't do it. We need a human being like us, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you have no excuse. Here is a human being like you, who is able to pray in namaz, to fast in Ramadan, to travel for Hajj, to go to Tabuk and other places. You have no excuse. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a human being like us. To be able to connect with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a human being, you have to study his seerah. Sometimes we scan through the seerah, receiving revelations, leading salah, and so on and so forth. But you need to connect with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a human level and from a human perspective, and wallahi, you will love him more. If you want to know someone, to evaluate them and see how they live their life, then you have to look at the way they treat their family, right? Because I understand, when you work, you do business with people, you always have this screensaver, mashallah, the big smile. But when you go home, you act like a dinosaur. If you don't do things my way, I'm gonna eat you, right? So the Prophet ﷺ was not like this. Some of us, like growing up, and you know, the father character in the house was like, you know, if you see him, it is just like a criminal seeing the cop. You'll just hide, you'll go on the sofa, and the dad would be like acting like Abu Tananin, Tanin al-Azam, right? Going around and throwing a fire-breathing personality. You can't talk to him. And if he ever comes in, you have to sit up and like... No, the Prophet ﷺ was not like this. We know from authentic hadith, I'm going to mention some of the stories. They are in Bukhari, Muslim Imam Ahmed, and some other authentic narrations. Like the Prophet ﷺ, the way he was treating his children is amazing. Even based on the standards of his time, he was ahead of his time. Like Fatima radiallahu anha, whenever she came to him, he would stand up to welcome her, he would kiss her on the forehead, and he will have her sit next to him. Right? And for the people of his time, like, is just a girl, right? But for him, she was like a friend. She was my flesh and blood. You see the relationship of the Prophet ﷺ with his grandchildren, he called them my children. So from a linguistic perspective, your grandson is actually your son. So the Prophet ﷺ would hug them and kiss them, and Al-Aqra ibn Habis, one of the Sahaba, Badawi, like he saw the Prophet ﷺ kissing his children, grandchildren, Al-Hasan Al-Husayn, and he said, do you kiss your own children? Oh my goodness! Do you kiss your children? And he said, I have 10 kids. Wallahi, I never kissed any of them. So even for him, this was like astonishing. Like you show rahmah, you know, gentleness to your children, you hug them and you kiss them, is this possible? And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. If you don't show mercy to kids, then Allah will not show mercy to you. So you have to show rahmah. The Prophet ﷺ, authentic hadith, he was giving khutbatul jum'ah one day, and people were facing him like this, and he saw his grandchildren, Al-Hasan al-Husayn, coming from the back. Their dresses were long. They were very young kids, like 3-4 years old. They were coming, and they were stumbling and falling down. So he basically stopped the khutbah, and he walked all the way to the back. He carried them, and he brought them to the front. I assume if this happened today, if I stopped the khutbah just to bring my kids from the back, I'm sure at least 100 of you will sign a petition to get me fired. Takbir, right? This is like, what is this imam doing? He is wasting our time, right? And the Prophet ﷺ did it. He cared about people. And the Prophet ﷺ would carry Umama, his granddaughter, the daughter of Zainab radiallahu anha, in salah. He reads his qira'ah, he carries his daughter or granddaughter. He goes for sajda, he will put it down. Then he will carry her to stand up. And he was leading salah. And the Prophet ﷺ, in one authentic hadith, he was in sajda, in salah. There were thousands of people praying behind him, and his sajda was very long until one of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what was wrong? Like, the sajda was very long. Like, I thought you actually died because it was so long. And the Prophet ﷺ said, my grandson, Hassan or Hussein, he got on my back, and I assumed if I stood up, maybe he would fall down, so I waited until he got off my back. Right? So this is what he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time one of the Sahaba came to the masjid. It was not time for salah, like between Dhuhr and Asr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crawling on both hands and feet, and Al-Hasan al-Husayn were on his back. And the Sahaba was astonished. What is this? Like, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is playing with his grandchildren, and they're on his back, and he was walking like a horse. And فَقَالَ نِعْمَ الْفَرَسُ أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What an amazing mount, camel or horse you are, Ya Rasulullah. فَقَالَ بَلْ نِعْمَ الْفَارِسَانِهُمَا. He said, no, what amazing knights, horsemen they are. So he's even praising his grandchildren, right? So imagine playing with your children and grandchildren and crawling around and carrying them and playing with them. And the Prophet ﷺ was not like showing off, or he was doing it for people to say he's a good man. He was doing it because he was being himself. He was a human being. Even with his family, his wife. So there is this hadith, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, we're coming back to Medina, we're traveling, and the Prophet ﷺ had his wife, Safiya, with him, Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtum, and from what we know, she was not tall, right? She was short. And the Prophet ﷺ, to help her go on top of her camel, he went down, he put his knees like this, she got on top of his knees to go on top of her camel, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, this is something that he did. And Anas radiallahu anhu said, I happened to see, like the Prophet ﷺ didn't call people to show them, look, you know, I'm doing like this so my wife can go on my knees on top of her camel. Because, you know, he was being himself. And Anas radiallahu anhu said, I happened to see him doing this. It is not like when people, you know, they do something, they go to the haram, they are praying in the Kaaba, they take like pictures with the Kaaba, like in salah. Or they go, they brush their teeth, or they take a shower. Khalas, ya amu, we know you brush your teeth, khalas, we get it. Or you go to a restaurant, you see, I'm eating like my biryani or my sushi, like, khalas, we know you go to places, ya amu, khalas, knock it off. So the Prophet ﷺ was not doing it for people. He did it because of who he was, right? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was this brother from an Arab country, to show you, like, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was doing it because of who he was, not for the wrong reasons. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this brother from an Arab country, and this is a true story, he said he traveled to work in another Arab country. They had an old car, so he would drive his wife to work in that other Arab country. So he said his wife was a nurse. He would take her, would drive her to her work, and he would pull over in front of the hospital, and he would go outside and open the door for his wife. Alhamdulillah, other staff members, they said, oh my goodness, this is so romantic. He has a big heart. And they started to talk to each other and they complain about their husbands. They're rough, Tinin al-Azam, like, this is so gentle. He goes out of the car, he opens the door for his wife, Tfaddali, and mashallah, this is so nice. And people were talking about them, their, you know, their romantic life together, like Antara or Abla, like these stories. So basically, the manager of the hospital, he invited the husband one day and he said, dude, you make us look bad. Our wives are complaining. You're so sweet with your wife. And he said, why is that? Why do you think I'm so sweet? He said, because you get out of the car, you open the back door, your wife, you know. He said, no, you don't know. Like, the lock is broken from inside. She can't open, so I have to go outside and open for her. I said, like, oh my goodness. Just give me 200 riyals. I'm going to go and fix the lock. So he was doing it for the wrong reason. He's not being nice or anything. But the Prophet ﷺ was not doing it to show off. He was doing it because he was a good man, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu rasooluh arsalahu rabbuhu rahmatan lil alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gentle and kind and gracious with his family, with his sahaba, and inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life to next Jum'ah, not this one, the one after, I will talk about how he treated, how he touched his sahaba on a personal level. I'll just pick one example, and we'll dedicate the khutbah to one of his sahaba, Jabir ibn Abdullah. You can actually write a book on how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated Jabir and touched him on a personal level. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tens of thousands of sahaba. This is just one example. So if you please can move up a little bit, inshallah, people are waiting outside. Even the people who didn't know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was still very kind to them. So there's this hadith, A'rabi, a Bedouin man, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was his first time to see him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so honorable and so charismatic, and his sahaba, they showed him like respect and everything. When this man came and he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was shaking, he almost had a heart attack. And the Prophet said, "Hawwin alayka ya akhi, take it easy. Innama ana ibn imra'atin min Makkah kanat ta'kul al-qadid. I'm a human being like you, and I come from humble backgrounds just like you. Falastu bi malik. I'm not a king. If you think I'm a king, you're mistaken. I'm just a human being like you." So the Prophet comforted him and consoled him by telling him that we share the same background. I'm a human being like you, so take it easy, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, from what we know in authentic hadith, مَا ضَرَبَ امْرَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا قَطْ. He never hit a woman or a servant ever. This is based on authentic hadith. Because a man who hits his wife or a woman is not actually a man. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. The Prophet ﷺ, مَا عَابَ طَعَامًا قَطْ. He never criticized food. If you give him food, if he likes it, he would eat it. If he didn't like it, he would say, Alhamdulillah, I don't feel like eating now. And he said, if you invite me to the best food, I'll eat it. Like the shank or the shoulder, I'll eat it. And he said, if you invite me to the intestines, the insides of a goat that most people wouldn't eat, or the leg of a goat, the hooves, I'm going to come and eat it. Alhamdulillah, thanks for the invitation. I will honor you, I will come. This is how humble he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one particular hadith, and I'm going to conclude with this, inshallah, that touched me when I first heard it, مَا رُؤِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَاسِدًا قَطْ. He had never been seen inactive ever. He was always doing something. I know some people, they would just sit like there, like this for hours, and, you know, Facebook and selfies and stuff. They're not doing anything. But the Prophet ﷺ was never seen inactive ever. He was either teaching, leading salah, he was either giving talk or reading Quran, he was doing, like, defending Medina, travel, he was doing something. Even when he was home, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, his family was asked in Bukhari, and he said, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِ. He was just like an average person with his family. He would just stitch his shoes, he would clean his clothes, clean the house, help us with cooking, and the Prophet ﷺ, like, he didn't have to do this because he had a large family. He didn't have to do nothing. But he was one of them. He was one of them. He just didn't like them. When he was traveling with his sahaba, from what we know in authentic hadith, someone would say, Rasulullah, I'm gonna you know, sacrifice this goat. Someone would say, I'm going to cut it. Someone would say, I'm going to marinate it. Someone would say, I'm going to roast it. He would say, I'm gonna collect the firewood for you. They say, Ya Rasulullah, look, we're like, there are 3,000 of us here. You don't have to do nothing. You just sit and we'll do it. And he said, no, I don't like to sit in the shade like a slave master and people work for me like slaves. I'm just one of you. He touched people on a personal level. People loved him because he was one of them. He was not their king. He was their friend. He was their brother. He was one of the people for the people. And this is why they were willing to sacrifice their life for them. If you want to have a good relationship with someone, you need to touch them on a personal level. And this is something we learned from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And next khutbah we'll talk about Jabir ibn Abdullah and how he touched him on a personal level. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Give us sincerity in everything we say and do. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Just 10 seconds before we start Salah tomorrow, we'll have an amazing appreciation dinner for Mingate Islamic Academy. So if you want to show support to the school, just buy the ticket, come, you will eat a meal for the money, and this is your way of supporting the school. And I think if we're not able to support an Islamic school with as much as a meal, we don't deserve to have an Islamic school. So make sure, inshallah, you come and show your support. If you're not able to come, there are some students standing downstairs with, you know, donation boxes. You just put whatever you can. This will help us a long way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best, accept from us, and give us sincerity. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa aqimus salat.